So yes, practical applications of this mutual respect that Sarah ended off last night. And that mutual respect is evidenced in a myriad of ways within masters, marriages that are successful. And the first we have to start with, of course, is money. Is it my money or is it our money? Now, I have my checking account and the other has their checking account, or is it our money together? And Dave Ramsey is, he's premier in this. I have seen it time and time again. We've had shows on this. I was just recently asked to give advice on this very topic and immediately go to him. He's the best. And where are those classes of his? If you're able to attend a class, churches. So if you're one of the faithful in that group, right, you're going into a group of people, they're going to know this and you will be exposed to these others. So you're starting to see how these groups have certain attributes to them mm-hmm. that causes them to be successful. Making sacrifices for the marriage, spouse, and kids. Yes, we're going to see a closing quote on this. So that's where your sacrifice is. It's for the other. That the marriage takes precedence over golf, generally, and that's men, and kids for the women. As much as men might be have a finger wagged at them for the time spent on the golf, somehow women can get a pass on how much time they're being, that they are devoting to their children, because that seems more normal, when in fact it's just helicoptering and it's misplaced affection. And that's rampant. But society tends to give that a pass because that seems to be more of a concerned parent. And that can be very harmful to a marriage, right? To the husband. Okay. Date nights. He certainly brings those up, but he has a caveat in there. And that is that there are no contentious topics. And they're great. They escape pressures of parenting and work. And this concept of date night is more prevalent among the strivers, in part because they have money and success, and they know this need to be working on your marriage. And amongst the faithful, such as Marriage Encounter, there's church instruction. There's a group I'll mention at the end in resources. Teams of Our Lady, Schoenstatt, that's Catholic, but the Communio, that's it, is a big movement within the Protestant world. But the contentious topic part, that I guess we could come, well, the contentious part. So there's a concept that we learned along the way, which is a 10 and 10. And sometimes you have to talk about contentious things. But if that's all you do with your date night, then yeah. It's not refreshing.
Exactly. That's right. That's the, you know, there's a time and a place for everything.
Yes. Yes. Forging a unified family identity around a common last name. Even those on the left, the women in general, will take the last name because they want to have a unified front. There is no D word talk. In fact, that's how we call it around here. There's no, we don't use the word. We don't speak about that word. It's because we see the ties bind, and that's not an option. We don't have a contract. We have a covenant, and we know the definition of all those words, right? We before me, marriage before before children. That here it's God, marriage, children, work, and extracurricular. It's that order. Yes, initial challenges of new parents, that they are transient in nature. I know it doesn't look like it at the time, but this too shall pass. A broken home is not a death sentence. So if, again, if you or your children have this unfortunate reality, they are not doomed. They're, you know, like the fates, they are not fated. So you mentioned something earlier in one of our past episodes. You cut off relationships that do not model what is right for the kids. Yeah. There was a part where you just, if it's not supporting the culture, then we limited it. I know it's been a while, but this is kind of circling back to the point you made on that. I remember I was at a bridal party was coming out of a restaurant of all places in Boulder. It was close to our anniversary, and we said how long we were married, however long that was, and it sounded like a long time. And she asked for the bride-to-be asked for advice, and I said, you do not let anyone who undermines your relationship in your world, regardless of what their title might be. If they undermine your relationship, now, again, we have to have that disclaimer. Maybe family's coming in and saying he's a, you know, abuser. We're not talking that stuff. We're talking just your typical.
The sense is that there's a good relationship and somebody's trying to undermine it, right?
That's right. Boundaries, yes. Yeah. He calls good fences around the opposite sex, especially in the workplace. And somewhere along the line, we encountered Billy Graham's. He had a protocol to keep things at bay, and we do that.
And don't think that that's foolish. Do not believe the culture when they tell you that that's ridiculous. You know, recognize that, you know, that there's a reason why every single castle had a motte built around it, right? Or a moat, right? I mean, there's a reason for that. It could be that there was zero chance that it was ever going to be attacked. They still built it, right? You put up defenses because an individual person may not want you to fail, but there are spiritual forces that are perfectly content for that to happen. So don't be foolish and don't be naive. No, and don't think, oh, it could never happen to us. That's surely is going to happen to you.
That's right.
I mean, in that instance, you know, if you think it can never happen to you, you can almost guarantee that it will happen to you.
That's right.
Strike. I remember, just to go along with that, I'm sorry, just to go along with that. Okay. When we were first married, like not long into our marriage, unfortunately, my husband and I were sleigh riding in his backyard. His parents had a very, very big hail, and we were back there for Christmas. And he, you know, we hadn't even been married for a year. He took off his gloves and he shook out snow that had gotten in there. And unfortunately, when he took off his glove, you know, your fingers get thinner in the cold, and his ring went with it. And, you know, he just didn't even notice. So we looked forever to try and find that ring, but we did not have a lot of money. You know, we were pretty living pretty much paycheck to paycheck at that time. But I realized, I thought one morning I woke up and I thought, he is riding the bus to work every single day without a ring on his finger. And so from that moment, I saved every amount of money that I had to be able to make sure that in the shortest amount of time, I could provide him with another ring that was not going to be nearly as expensive as the original, but one that was worthy of putting on his finger. You know, because it's a silly thing to think. I mean, he was a good looking young man and he's riding on a bus in DC where there are lots and lots of beautiful people. Like, don't be naive enough to think that even, and I, in a million years, I don't think that he would have ever done anything, but it's a foolish thing to not give him all of the battle array that our Lord wants him to have to protect him from those onslaughts. You know, and this goes to kind of the same kind of story where there was one time where he had to go away on a business meeting. He was doing his first big trial somewhere in Chicago, and he was kind of nervous and whatnot. And he got he was driving to the courtroom, and he walked into the building, and he was reaching for something, and he felt something in his pocket, and he reached in and he pulled out a pacifier. And like that one moment of seeing that pacifier immediately grounded him. Like, this is why I'm here. If I lose this, if I win this, when I go home tonight, I've got a family. So those little things really do build. They're the little moat around your marriage. Make them strong. Build your fortifications. You know, do everything that you can to protect the gift that you have in that union with one other person. It's so profoundly beautiful.
That is almost an example he uses in the book of one father, and he travels. It's part of how he provides for his family. And I'm not sure he actually pulled out a pacifier, but it's only because he didn't think about it. And now that he heard it, he probably would have packed them on intentionally.
So right.
Pull them out and... Right. Oh my gosh, what do I? Oh my gosh, who knew there was in there? Oh, let me put that back so I can say it the next time tomorrow. Yep. But his conversation was always my wife, my children, we got this, I'm doing that.
Right.
Building that moat.
Absolutely. Lead with what you love.
That's right. That's right. All right, we'll pick up with some more ideas in the next episode. Till then, my friends, fides adratio.